Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the head of the HSC says a ray of hope is emerging as COVID-19 vaccines ramp up. The Mica Action Group says they have been left with a half-baked redress scheme. A man has died following an early morning crash in Derry. And the Foreign Affairs Minister has agreed to a further meeting with both the Letterkenny and Derry Chambers over various concerns relating to both COVID and Brexit. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. First in news, senior cabinet ministers will meet tonight to finalise the details of the revamped Living with COVID plan. They'll also sign off on the plan for a phased reopening of schools in March and April. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
The broad brushstrokes of the revised plan have been clear for the last week. March will see very little reopening, with the exception of schools on a phased basis, with some students coming back as early as March 1st, with some not returning until closer to the middle of April. Construction's unlikely to fully reopen next month, but may be revisited towards the end of March, and Level 5 measures will be extended until at least April and likely longer. But what the government really needs to achieve with this plan is an element of certainty for people, something that the situation makes difficult to provide. An update on the vaccination time timeline is expected, though this likely won't include specific dates for when sectors can reopen. The hope is to give some certainty around what certain vaccination levels will mean for the wider reopening of the country, but with ministers set to extend the pandemic unemployment payment and wage subsidy scheme until June, the only thing that's clear is we're a while away from that yet. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, the British Prime Minister has set a provisional date of June the 21st for lifting all COVID social distancing rules in England. Boris Johnson's roadmap for ending lockdown restrictions also allows for shops, gyms, hair salons and beer gardens to reopen on the 12th of April and indoor hospitality 5 weeks later. But the UK leader insisted the dates aren't set in stone and will depend on the vaccine rollout continuing and hospital admissions falling. The British Prime Minister says the plan will be cautious but should be irreversible.
With appropriate mitigations, we will aim to remove all legal limits on social contact and on weddings and other life events. We will reopen everything up to and including nightclubs.
The head of the HSC says a ray of hope is emerging as COVID-19 vaccines ramp up. Over 100,000 people are expected to receive a jab this week. Stephanie Rohan reports.
So far, Ireland's been vaccinating around 40,000 people a week, but that's to increase in the coming days. Almost 110,000 people are expected to receive a jab this week. Of those, around 12,000 are in nursing homes, 62,000 are frontline healthcare workers, and 36,000 are over the age of 85. Head of the HSC, Paul Reid, says the numbers will increase even further in the coming weeks.
It looks like if the volumes are delivered to the extent that we have been committed to, about 3.8 million quarter two. So that's really a step up for us.
It comes as the government finalises changes to the vaccine priority list, which could see thousands of people with underlying conditions getting vaccinated sooner than originally planned. Sasha Delaney, who has cystic fibrosis, says it would change her life.
I have a respiratory condition, so COVID could cause absolute havoc and could make me very, very sick. And even, you know, it could be fatal. I've lost, there's been a few CF people who've died over the last couple of weeks from COVID, and it's just, it's terrifying, really. So vaccines would change a lot of that for me.
Elsewhere, there's still no certainty over whether family carers would be moved up the list.
In the north, there's been a further 4 COVID-related deaths and 187 people have tested positive for the virus in the last 24 hours. There are 386 patients being treated in a hospital for the virus in Northern Ireland, with 51 in ICU. Vintners feel the government should be more concerned with providing a timeline for their reopening rather than looking at extending pub opening times. The government is to consider the extension under its Justice Plan 2021, which also aims to modernise licensing laws. Meanwhile, some pubs have been closed for almost a year due to COVID-19 and they have no idea when they may be allowed to reopen again. Padraig Cribbin, CEO of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, feels most publicans don't want longer opening hours and help is needed elsewhere.
There is no great appetite for extended opening hours. I don't know where the minister is getting this from. There is an issue around late bars and nightclubs. Currently, you have to apply each night that you want to go beyond normal closing time for an instrument called a special exemption order. That costs €410 per night. That system needs to be simplified and made considerably cheaper.
The Mica Action Group says they have been left with a half-baked redress scheme. The government is being urged to address a number of serious outstanding issues to make the Mica redress scheme more workable. While it's estimated that thousands of households in Donegal are affected by the defective block issue, there's said to be a slow uptake of the scheme. Michael Doherty of the Mica Action Group is appealing to government to urgently find a resolution.
We had given them what we call the big four big ticket items to go after. They're considering them. Now, we know, having been patient for 8 years, how long these things can take. The fact that the scheme's up and running, they can't afford the luxury of dwelling on this stuff. They know what the problems are. We've made it crystal clear. We've got four high-level issues to address, and we need a response from them. And we really would appeal to also Charlie McCullough here, who's now our Minister for Agriculture and Marine. He's sitting side by side with the cabinet ministers, Darrell Breen and Michael Martin, three of which we talked to when they were in opposition. And they were very much in bed with us in terms of what it was we needed from the scheme. Now, what is extremely disappointing right now is that, you know, they seem to have found reasons to justify what they already had a problem with last time round. They asked questions in the Dáil about these things, about getting parity with pyrite. And now it has turned around to finding reasons why it seems to be acceptable to leave us with a half-baked scheme. So our appeal is to Dublin to go and do the right thing by the people of Donegal for once and for all.
A man has died following an early morning crash in Derry. The man in his 40s died after his motorcycle was struck by a vehicle on the Glen Sheehan Road shortly after 5:30 a.m. The road remains closed in both directions at Altna Galvin Hospital. Police are appealing for anyone who was in the area at the time or who may have dashcam footage or any other information to come forward. Communities in Donegal are being urged to contact their local TD in a bid to rally behind the survival of their local post office. The Irish Postmasters Union says if the government pays them for providing offline services to customers, it would keep hundreds of struggling post offices across the country open. IPU General Secretary Ned O'Hara says the future of post offices now lies in the hands of the government.
I don't want to sound negative, but unless somebody makes a decision, like, the postmasters are facing a decision imminently about their future, and I think it's important that the government address the issue. Like, the evidence is there, as I said at the start. Grant Thornton are a reputable worldwide organisation. They have examined the figures, they've produced a report, and what we would like is the government to have that report either examined by either New Era, accept it or don't accept it. And if they don't accept it, the consequences would be, well, we don't even want to go there in relation. We think that there's a solution there. We do think that we're good value for money for that solution. As I said, 17 million in the context of a 60 billion budget isn't even 0.0000%. And Grant Thornton has said that we will return 20 times that investment. So I'm just encouraging or trying to get the government, Donald, to see the logic and to just make a decision. And I would urge the people in Donegal to contact their local politicians, particularly the government TDs, particularly because it's the government make the decisions. And we've spoken to all the politicians in Donegal, and they've all been very helpful. And I don't want to name out, but I don't want to be seen to be naming out the people, but all the politicians in Donegal have been very helpful to us in supporting our case. But it's the government TDs that can make the decision at the moment. So I'd urge people in Donegal to contact their government TDs and urge them to make a decision. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening out there. Like, Ulster Bank is closing. There's rumours around Bank of Ireland. All that type of stuff affects communities. And, like, we don't want the same thing to happen to the network. The answer is there. We just want somebody to make a decision.
The Ombudsman for Children says interagency cooperation will be one of his key objectives during his tenure. Donegal native Dr. Niall Muldoon says children have been among the worst affected by the pandemic and they must be at the centre of government strategies for recovery. Dr. Muldoon has just been recently reappointed to the role for a second six-year term. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Muldoon has been outlining what he would like to achieve in the years ahead.
Well, what I'd like to see, and again, it's terrible that I have to think about it this way or try and force these sort of things. The simple thing would be interagency cooperation. You know, I mean, every time we do an investigation, one of the things we say is that agencies aren't working together. The problem is that they all see their own budget as being sacrosanct. The child who crosses between the different agencies doesn't care who pays the check. And it all ultimately comes out of the Department of Finance. You know, so from our point of view, we'd like to see interagency like HSE and TUSLA and CAMS and hospitals, whatever it might be, where children cross over the different boundaries, that the child is the centre and the decisions are made as to how do we fund the child as opposed to how do we fund the service that's helping the child. And then if we can do that, we can then move on to a situation where we get multi-annual budgets as well. It's one of the bane of my life is to see an organisation saying, I've run out of money. A child goes looking for a change of wheelchair and in September they're told, no, you have to wait to January, you've no money left. That's not child-centred. And that's ludicrous because you can plan for these things. You can predict a lot of these things. I've heard children with prosthetic legs who need to, you know, prove that they still have no leg.
Yeah.
And they're 9, 10 years of age. That means taking a picture with your underpants on. That's just, you know, that stuff is needs to go. It's archaic. And it's just somebody following the rule of law as opposed to being child-centred. So there's a few things. Those two things would change the world completely for children. Multi-annual budgets, allowing consistency across a number of years, and the concept of proper interagency and interdepartment working.
The total cost of the pandemic unemployment payment to date has topped €6 billion. There is a slight decrease this week in the numbers in receipt of the payment. They are down by just over 4,200. 16,178 people in Donegal will receive the payment this week, down from 16,355 last week. In total, more than 473,000 people will get the PUP this week at a cost of €142 million. 313 people in Donegal have closed their PUP claim this week. Meanwhile, 4,106 people in the county will receive the COVID-19 enhanced illness benefit.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with athletics, and a bumper Irish team of 24 athletes have been selected for the European Indoor Athletics Championships in Turin in Poland from March the 5th to the 7th. Several of our top performers from the 2019 editions of the championships return in 2021, including medalists Mark English and Kira McGeehan. Well, Fun Valley have been on the ball today on Twitter congratulating Mark English on his selection for the European Indoor Championships in Turin. Mark ran his fastest ever time for an 800 metres indoor event at the weekend. He smashed his own Irish record in the process. The Letterkenny man warmed up for the Europeans with a terrific run at the Elite ALH Micro Meeting at Abbottstown. He ran 1 minute 46.1 seconds to seal victory. So congratulations to Mark English. And the 2021 Donegal Half Marathon has been fixed for Sunday, August the 29th. The event's organising committee met over the weekend, and in keeping with previous years, they've scheduled the event for the last Sunday in August. Race director Brendan McDade said he's hopeful that he and his team will be in a position to organise an actual race in Letterkenny this year. Online entries will open in May. Moving on to soccer, and Derry City have announced two new signings ahead of the new season. Will Patching has joined the Candy Stripes on an initial loan deal from Dundalk. The midfielder came through Manchester City's youth academy before joining Notts County, and he was capped by England at under 16, 17 and 18 level. He signed for the Lilywhites at the end of 2019 and made 9 appearances and a stop-start summer. But a busy day at the Brandywell was completed with the arrival of 19-year-old winger Mark Walsh, who penned a 12-month deal at the club. The Donegal youngster had a successful season at Finn Harps in 2017 before sealing a move to Swansea City. He was capped at Ireland under 17 level, but returned from Wales at the end of last summer as the impact of the pandemic took a hold on many clubs. Elsewhere, Shane Duffy is the latest Republic of Ireland international to share sectarian abuse to which they've been subjected. The on-loan Celtic defender said surely there's a limit as he revealed the messages sent to him on Instagram. Last week, of course, James McLean revealed the extent of which he's been abused on social media. And Vera Pauw, she believes there's plenty of potential in the Republic of Ireland squad. The Dutch woman has signed a contract extension to guide the side through the 2023 World Cup qualification campaign. Pauw was originally appointed in 2019 and saw Ireland miss out on a playoff spot for the Euros. Meanwhile, there's one game this evening in the Premier League as Brighton host rivals Crystal Palace at the Amex Stadium. Republic of Ireland international James McCarthy, he's set for a late fitness test for Palace, having not played yet this month due to a groin injury. Brighton are unbeaten in six league games, and a win would see them climb above tonight's opponents into 14th place. There was two new positive coronavirus tests in the Premier League's latest batch of results. It's the third week running that the round of twice weekly testing has produced just two positives. Those who have COVID-19 will now have to self-isolate for a period of 10 days. Meanwhile, spectators won't be allowed to return to sporting venues in England until the 17th of May at the earliest. That's under the Prime Minister's plans to ease lockdown. Large football stadiums will be able to hold up to 10,000 people, with 4,000 fans allowed at smaller outdoor venues. That won't be in time for the FA Cup final at Wembley, but it will cover the EFL playoffs and Euro 2020. But facilities such as golf courses and tennis courts, they can reopen from the 29th of March. And in rugby, a decision about whether Scotland's Rugby Union Six Nations match with France can go ahead this coming weekend will be made on Wednesday. Sunday's test in Paris is in doubt after five more French players tested positive for coronavirus, including captain Charles Olivon. Two members of their management team are also suspected cases. Meanwhile, attack coach Mike Katz says Ireland are going in the right direction despite a poor try scoring record. They've only crossed the whitewash twice during this season's Six Nations. Italy and Rome on Saturday. There's no fresh injury concerns ahead of the game, nor are there any coronavirus cases, with 14 individuals in that French camp tested positive already. After since their win over Ireland in Dublin, Kat says Ireland remain virus-free.
Well, we all got tested three times last week. We've had a test this morning. So, again, we are COVID-free as we currently stand. So I think we're very happy with the way things have been going. The players have been exceptional in sticking to their protocols and our protocols. So that's all we currently can do. And at the moment, we are doing pretty well on that.
In golf, Tiger Woods says he hopes to play in the Masters in April after undergoing back surgery for a fifth time. The 15-time major champion went under the knife to relieve a pressurised disc fragment last month. Woods recovered from spinal fusion and surgery in 2017 to win the green jacket at Augusta in 2019. Finally, for this evening, in horse racing, champion hurdle contender San Roy has been withdrawn from next month's Cheltenham Festival. The six-year-old won last year's county hurdle at the festival, but placed fourth in the Irish champion hurdle at Leopardstown earlier this month. Trainer Wally Mullins said it was better not to risk San Roy at Cheltenham. That's all your sport for this evening. There'll be more sport here in Highland after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the Foreign Affairs Minister has agreed to a further meeting with both Letterkenny and Derry Chambers over various concerns relating to COVID-19 and Brexit. It follows a recent meeting between both Chambers and the Minister over the challenges facing the North West business community, with a particular emphasis on the government's commitment to the region. Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce President Michael Margie said the joint meeting was positive. He added that both governments must now design a roadmap out of restrictions and specify how businesses can begin trading again.
And really what we were asking the Minister is that with this level of collaboration and structures in place at its highest, was that to make the investment and they would pay rich dividends. And what we were looking for was balanced development of the Northwest City region. And due to the level of interconnectedness of how people in all their aspects straddle the border, whether you live in Derry, you could be working in Letterkenny, or living in Letterkenny or Donegal and working in Derry, what we wanted was the balanced development and we wanted investment in that region. So it was a very comprehensive meeting, and he said to us that he would meet us again. This would be his third meeting with us, and he is really sincere about how we try and put this together. So it was a good meeting.
And did he give you any guarantee as to if he would supply funding and stimulus packages?
I think on the one hand, you know, I think the message was that there was a positive disposition towards that. I think on the other hand, then, it's about actually crystallising where these investment opportunities can be made. I mean, for example, everybody knows and talks about infrastructure, but there's other areas there that we need to look at as well. And the local governments there have very strongly formulated plans. And we were feeding in terms of the business sector and what we thought some of the issues were that were arising in that there. And the next meeting is to take a further look at that and try and crystallise or tangibilise these options that are in front of us.
The Irish National Teachers Organisation is calling for a review into fees that are currently being charged for online Gaeltacht courses. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, traditional courses cannot take place in the Gaeltacht. Concern has been expressed, however, among some student teachers that the online versions are effectively costing the same as attending the traditional courses. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Initially, the INTO says the online courses were a welcome alternative option during the pandemic. In a statement today, the INTO says the fees being charged for online courses appear excessive, considering the cost for accommodation and in-person supports has been removed. The INTO consistently called for the reinstatement of a grant for student teachers to attend the courses, which had been abolished by the government during the recession. While the organisation acknowledges that the grant has been reinstated for some student teachers in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic, the INTO is calling for exceptional funding supports to be made urgently available to all student teachers who will participate in online Gaeltacht courses this year.
Weather now, cloud will thicken this evening and rain will extend, becoming widespread and persistent overnight, bringing a risk of localised flooding. Strong to near gale force southeast winds will develop also, reaching gale force on coasts with lowest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, senior cabinet ministers will meet tonight to finalise the details of the revamped Living with COVID plan. They'll also sign off on the plan for the phased reopening of schools in March and April. Well, the British Prime Minister has set a provisional date of June the 21st for lifting all COVID social distancing rules in England. Boris Johnson's roadmap for ending lockdown restrictions also allows for shops, gyms, hair salons and beer gardens to reopen on the 12th of April and indoor hospitality 5 weeks later. The MICA Action Group says they have been left with a half-baked redress scheme. The government is being urged to address a number of serious outstanding issues to make the MICA redress scheme more workable. And a man has died following an early morning crash in Derry. The man in his 40s died after his motorcycle was struck by a vehicle on the Glenshane Road shortly after 5:30 a.m. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Monday evening, February the 22nd. The death has taken place of Dara Hodgson, Ard Grainne Court, Stranorler and formerly of Saltpans Rathmullen. Remains will repose at his former residence in Saltpans Rathmullen. Requiem Mass on Wednesday at 12 noon in St Joseph's Church Rathmullen, with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people only. Rosary tonight and tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass and Rosary can be viewed on MCN Media/ St Joseph's Church Rathmullen. The death has taken place of Mary Ellen Freel Barrick Remelton. Remains reposing at her home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church Remelton, with burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass and Rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/ St Mary's Church Remelton. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Kathleen Nee, formerly Harris, 3 Oak Park Convoy. Remains will be reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there at 22:11 on Wednesday morning, going to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 o'clock at Funeral Mass. Interment afterwards in the Old Cemetery Convoy. Family flowers only, please, in compliance with government and HSE guidelines. Wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with 10 people only. The death has taken place in Manchester of Rose McDermott, Roe Ne Kearney, Slixton, Manchester and formerly of Chernaleague, Carndonagh. Funeral taking place in Manchester on Thursday afternoon in St John's RC Church at 1:15 with burial immediately after. Mass can be viewed live on St John's RC Church Facebook page. The death has occurred of Mary Toner, Ballybeg, Brina Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St. Columbus Church, Glenswilly, with interment afterwards to the family plot in Kilfeagh Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, requiem mass and interment are strictly for family only, with a limit of 10 people permitted. And the death has occurred of Charlie Connolly, 310, the curate Killigordon, and formerly of Blaine Ahiarn. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 11:20 for requiem mass in St Patrick's Church Crossroads, Killigordon at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The requiem mass will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page at facebook.com/ St Patrick's Crossroads. Due to government restrictions, the funeral mass is strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people.